Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn them to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 22 here. And before we read that, I want to read Psalm chapter 34, verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. In Acts chapter 16, verses 22 here, it says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. Let's go ahead and have a quick word of prayer. We'll get into this sermon. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for everyone who's gathered here. I thank you for their faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us all with your Holy Ghost. Help me to say only what you want me to say, God. I pray that we would learn what praise means to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you grow up in church for any length of time, and I think even if you get saved out of the world, there's something that we refer to as Christianese. And praise is one of those words to me that it's a Christianese word. It's a word that gets thrown out a lot. There's a lot of different words that we think we know what the meaning of them are. And so we think we're doing what that word means when in actuality we might not be doing it at all. And praise is one of those words that I think many times gets mistaken for singing, and many times it gets mistaken for gratitude, and many times it gets mistaken for thankfulness. And praise includes all of those things, but that is not what praise is. And so there's a praise that we think we know. Oh, he's going to come up and preach too. All right, go back to your mama. Go back to mama. All right. You see, we live in a time when praise is often reduced to a moment. Praise is often reduced to a feeling, an emotion. It's often reduced to worship. And once again, praise includes all of those different things, but that's not what praise is. We think, if I sang, then I praised. If I felt something, then God was near. If the music moved me, then worship must have happened. But the Bible gives us a thicker, stronger, more honest category for praise. You see, praise is not a substitute for obedience. Praise is not the same thing as personality. Praise is not merely volume or visibility or music. Praise is not spiritual entertainment. And I think you know this, Pastor Lou. We can't help it sometimes as preachers and as pastors where we've seen people out and about and we've heard brothers and sisters in Christ, they say, or other pastors, they say, hey, this family or this person is living in disobedience to God's word. They're not where they ought to be. And then perhaps they come and visit your church. And you see this, Pastor Lou, where they come in and they praise God and they raise the holy hands. Well, maybe not the not so holy hands, right? The unholy hands. And they seem like they're lockstep with where God wants them to be. But that's not praise. Praise is not spiritual entertainment. You cannot separate praise from obedience. You see, praise in Scripture is truth anchored, and it's a response to God's worth, especially, and if you don't get anything else, especially when life does not cooperate. Praise isn't for the times where you feel good so much as it is for the times you don't feel so good. That's what praise is. And we see here in Acts chapter 16, verses 22, we see praise in prison. We see praise in prison. This passage here records Paul and Silas being beaten and jailed, and it says the multitude rose up, and they were so angry that the magistrates ripped off their clothes, and they commanded to beat them. And when they got done beating them, they threw them into prison. I would guarantee you, friend, that Paul and Silas didn't feel too great at that time, all right? That's right? I would guarantee you that they didn't feel so full of the Holy Ghost at that time. I would guarantee you that they did not feel like praising God at that time. And yet, many times as we read the Scriptures, we think, oh man, I could never do that. And let me tell you, friend, Paul and Silas were just men. And yes, they were men who loved God, and yes, they were men who were zealous for God, but they were just men. And I guarantee you, friend, that they did not want to praise. They did not want to sing after they were beaten black and blue, but they still praised anyways. Notice, friend, they did not sing because their situation improved. They sang in the situation. Their praise was not a victory lap. It was spiritual warfare. It was witness. It was worship that did not depend on comfort. And Psalm chapter 34, verses 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. When life is good and when life is bad. When I feel full and when I feel empty. When I feel content and when I feel discontent. When I'm healthy and when I'm sick. Psalm 34, 1, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So the question becomes, what do we, friend, what do we often get wrong about what praise is biblically? And I want to look at three Hebrew words here for praise. You see, if you study the Greek and the Hebrew, and I had the privilege to do that in Bible college, but when you study the Greek and the Hebrew, you get a so much better view of what the Scriptures are trying to say. The first Hebrew word here I want us to investigate is called halal. Halal. You see, this word here is often connected to praise. It means to boast. It means to make a show of God's greatness in a way that declares who He is. You see, praise, friend, is God-centered declaration. Praise in Scripture is not mainly me expressing myself. It's not about the emotional high. It's not about raising my hands. And it's not about, oh, this worship music is just so good. I just love it so much. No, you see, friend, Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Amen. Psalm 96:3 says, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's just stop right here. This praise is evangelistic in nature. How many times, friend, do we go to work and we're around our unsaved family members and whatever situation we might be in, and there's something that God has done greatly in our lives, but we don't want to seem like a weirdo fanatic, so we don't say anything. You know, the thing I love about my wife is that when she's at work, she talks about God. She talks about the fact, hey, we go to church. Hey, my kids sang. And we're talking about, hey, God provided. This praise is evangelistic and it's missionary in nature. It means that, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell everyone how good my God is. Praise is not vague compliments. Biblical praise names realities: God's greatness, His holiness, His mercy, His power, His faithfulness, His justice. It is a proclamation. That praise is part of what Jesus said. Hey, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now understand, friend, I'm not saying that praise forbids emotion, but what I'm saying is that if we reduce praise to an emotion and to a song and to a feeling and to worship, then we mistake what praise is. Emotion, you see, is the fruit of praise, but it is not the foundation. When emotion becomes the foundation, guess what? Praise becomes unstable. It no longer becomes praise. It just means, hey, I feel good. I feel happy. Feelings rise and fall, but God's nature never does. I said this before, praise is not limited to music. And yes, we see in the Bible many times that praise is connected to it. Psalm 150 verse 4 says, praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. But the Bible also shows praise expressed through spoken testimony. Praise expressed through prayer. Praise expressed through daily confession. You see, if praise only happens when worship music is playing, when the piano is playing, when there's a special song, then it's not praise. It's not praise. You see, praise is measured by truthfulness. Praise is measured by truthfulness. You see, a church can have volume and still be empty. A Christian can have tears and still be far, far away from God. I remember growing up, my family and I, we'd go down to South Carolina. My mom, she grew up sort of charismatic Pentecostal, and so out of respect for my grandparents, we would go to their Pentecostal Holiness Church, and my Uncle David was the pastor there, and he was a very good preacher, but they ended up kicking him out because, you know, they're Pentecostals. But anyways, we would go there out of respect for my papa and my mama, as we call them, my grandparents on my mom's side. And I just remember sitting way in the back with my family. We didn't want to get too close to the crazy people, and they'd all be in the front, and this was a multi-million dollar building. They had $1,000 pews all over the place. It was a beautiful building. And Uncle David, he's up there preaching, and you know, he's trying to preach, and then you got some people interrupting him while he's preaching, and it's just a mess. And then somebody's falling down on the altar and they're like, that's not praise. Praise is not an emotion. Praise is measured by truthfulness. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, "This people draw near to me with their mouth, but have removed their heart far from me." I like what Pastor Lou was preaching this morning about the wheat and the tares. You see, Pastor Lou, you know this, the problem with the wheat and the tares is that is a picture of the people in church. And it's a picture of the fact that the tares look like the wheat. They look like the regenerated. They look like the saved people in the church, but they're really not saved. And they grow up together, and God says, hey, you know what? Let them grow up together. Let them grow up together. And at the end of the day, I know who's mine, and I know who is his. Cast those in the fire. I'll take these home with me. And oh, friend, if there's something I could say to you, that salvation, that praise is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It is an allegiance to Jesus Christ. Not my will, but thine be done. Here's the warning, friend. Lips can be active while the heart is distant. Biblical praise must be true praise. Truth in the mouth, reverence in the heart, submission in the will. And Acts chapter 16 shows praise under pressure. Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and who heard them? The prisoners. Their praise had a public effect. It carried truth into a place of despair. You see, friend, our private pain, when it's handled with praise, becomes a public witness. You know, I think many times, and I don't want to discount my suffering or your suffering, but I think many times when I see other believers going through different problems and trials and temptations, as they say, hey, you know what? I praise God anyway. I say, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it too. Yeah, I'm not feeling too great right now, but if they're praising God, well, guess what? I can praise God too. You see, when we praise, that is a public witness. Understand this, friend. People are rarely moved by your successes. Most people don't care about your successes. Instead, people are deeply unsettled and deeply inspired and deeply moved in their hearts when they see you praise through the problems. So number one, we see what is praise. It is halal. It is praise of proclamation, not performance. It's not emotion. Number two here, very quickly, friend, praise is tode, tode. Praise is sacrificial, not situational. Praise is sacrificial, not situational. You see, this word tode for praise, it means thanksgiving mixed with praise. Thanksgiving and praise, it's offered especially as a sacrifice. It is praise that is chosen, not triggered. This is not spontaneous praise born out of good times. It is praise chosen in the midst of battle. And the Bible explicitly commands sacrificial praise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, we got to understand this, friend. The writer of Hebrews, and maybe it's Paul or whomever it might be, he's writing to believers who are going through trials. And once again, I don't want to discount your suffering or my suffering, but many times our trials are not that bad, okay? Now in Hebrews, these believers are being thrown in the Colosseum. They're being strung up and lighted as candles in Herod's garden, right? They're going through actual suffering. They're poor. They're hungry. They're starving. And yet the writer of Hebrews says, hey, you know what? I know that you're going through a rough time, but offer the sacrifice of praise. Because God's still good. God's still good. You see, friend, let me say this. What is sacrifice? A sacrifice is something that cost you something. And it costs these believers something to praise in the midst of their want, to praise in the midst of their need. A sacrifice is not what costs you nothing. Sacrificial praise is praise that we offer when we'd rather sulk. Sacrificial praise is praise we want to that we offer when we'd rather be depressed. Sacrificial praise is praise that we offer when we'd rather just stay in bed. Sacrificial praise is praise that we offer when we'd rather lash out, when we'd rather panic, when we'd rather shut down. And it is the praise that says God is still God even in this moment, even in this pain, even in this doubt, even in this fear. God is still God and God is still good. I love that saying, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. When things are good and when things are bad. That I will is not describing a mood. It's describing a settled decision of the soul. You see, understand this, friend. I've noticed that as I've gone through different hard times in my life, that when I said, God, thank you for the trial. Thank you for this temptation, God. Thank you for this problem that I can't solve in my own strength and in my own power, God. Thank you for it. I noticed that eventually God took away the problem. You see, Scripture models praise in the midst of loss and confusion. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. And this sort of harkens back to Amos. Amos was a fig farmer. He wasn't the son of a preacher. He wasn't the son of a prophet. And yet God laid a word on Amos's heart. And he was just a fig farmer. But we go to Habakkuk here. And Habakkuk is saying the same thing. He's saying, hey, the fig trees may not blossom, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk knew. He said, hey, I can't. There's no supermarket. There's no Walmart here. I depend on the fig tree for my livelihood and for my food. But you know what? If it doesn't happen, God is still good. God is still good. In Job chapter 1, verses 20, Job says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed. You see, praise like this is not denial. Praise like this. I'm not trying to tell you, friend, that when times are bad, that you ought to fake your way into emotion, fake your way into praise. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say slap a Band-Aid on it. What I'm trying to say, friend, is you need to fix your perspective. God is still God. God is in control. God is in control. The Bible's not calling us to fake happiness. It is calling us to refuse unbelief. Because when life gets hard, in the times that we most do not wish to pray are the times that we are most tempted to not believe in God, to doubt Him. And let me say this, doubt is not a sin. You're going to doubt in the Christian life. But it's where that doubt takes you that matters. Acts chapter 16 here. Go ahead and look at your Bibles. It says here in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, and I'll just read some portions here. Verse 25, it says, and at midnight, it's the dark of the night, it's the middle of the night, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They prayed and sang praises. You see, that is tode praise. Chains on the feet, wounds on the back, injustice in the system, uncertainty about tomorrow, and still praise is offered. Now, I want to give a qualifier here. The Bible talks a lot about lament. The Psalms are full of lament, and lament is a biblical thing. I think many times in many churches, we think we're being unspiritual when we complain to God. We're being unspiritual when we're angry at God. Let me just say this, friend, you can be angry at God. Now, I'm not saying you curse God out. I'm not saying you stop believing in God. I'm just saying that it's human to get to the point where you're angry at God. And let me say, if you've never been angry at God, I think you're lying. And you must not have been through much in your life. Sometimes I get angry at God. God, why did you let this happen to me? Well, God, you said in your word you protect me. You said that you had a plan. It doesn't seem like the plan is working, God. But that's when I get back into his word. And I get back into prayer. And those doubts and those fears and the anger wash away. Because I see, you know what? God is still in control. God is still in control. In Psalm 13, verse 1, we see the psalmist many times, and it's not just in this psalm, but also many others. Psalm 13, 1, it says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? Psalm 13, 5, he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. The psalmist says, hey, I feel like God's forgotten me. I feel like he doesn't care about me. I feel like I'm never going to get out of this situation. But you know what? I trust in God. I trust in God. You see, real believers can say, how long? And still say, I have trusted. God does not condemn us for our doubts. Instead, God calls us in the midst of trials. He calls us to a deeper fellowship. A deeper fellowship. You see, sacrificial praise fights spiritual deception. When praise becomes dependent on comfort, we train our hearts to believe God is good only when life is good. But when we praise in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials, in the midst of problems, guess what? We train our hearts to know and to believe that God is good no matter the situation. God is good. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. James 1:17, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, sacrificial praise anchors us back into reality that God's character does not change, that his promises do not expire, and God's throne is not shaken by our circumstances. So, number one, halal. There's halal praise. It's praise not based on emotion. It's based on proclamation. It's based on evangelism. Number two, there's tode praise. It's praise that is sacrificial, not situational. And number three here, lastly, we have yede. Yede. This is praise that is surrendered obedience and witness and not a cover for sin. You see this word here, this Hebrew word, yede, it means to give thanks, to confess, to acknowledge. And it's praise that includes confession and yieldedness. You see, if you read the Bible, David is a horrible man. He did a lot of horrible things. But the one thing that David was better at than most anyone else was that when he was confronted with the truth, he said, you know what, God? I'm wrong. And you're right. I yield my will to yours. I'll take whatever consequences. I'll take the exposure of sin. He yielded and he confessed. You see, God rejects praise that replaces obedience. This is a major point that many churches mishandle. They use worship as a spiritual bandage over an unsurrendered life. Saul was religious, was he not? But Saul was disobedient. When Saul attacked a town and did not do everything that God commanded him to do, and Samuel had to go and confront him, what did Samuel say? To obey is better than sacrifice. He said, hey, Saul, I know you're saying that you saved all the cattle and all the animals so that you could sacrifice them to God. That's not what God said to do. Oh, be careful, friend. Be careful that we do not get to a place in our lives where we begin to think that we know better than God. Where we look at his word and say, I know you said that in your word, God, but I just think this other path is a little bit better. A little bit better. Saul was religious but disobedient. God did not accept his worship as compensation. Understand this, friend. A worshipful tone does not make a disobedient life acceptable. It does not make a disobedient life acceptable. You see, God calls songs noise when they are from hearts that are wrong. Going to Amos, the fig farmer, the man who wasn't a preacher, he wasn't the son of a prophet. In Amos chapter 5, verse 23, God says to Amos, all right, I want you to write this down. I want you to tell the people. I want you to tell my people. He says, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. You see, this is not God hating music. This is God hating hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. You see, praise used as a mask while injustice, pride, or unrepentant sin is not tolerated by God. So let me get to this point right here, friend. Praise includes confession and repentance. You see, yadeh, this word praise, means a sense of acknowledgement. I acknowledge my sins. Sometimes the most honest praise is not, God, you're so great, you're so powerful, you're so mighty. But it's, you know what, God? You're right, and I'm wrong. You're right, and I'm wrong. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, thou wilt not despise. You see, a broken, contrite heart is not the enemy of praise. It is the doorway to real, deeper praise. I always get very anxious when I was a pastor and growing up, my dad being a pastor, I always got very anxious when my father would preach a sermon and say, we ought to pray that God reveal anything in our lives that is a sin and that is keeping us from being closer to Him. I would think, oh man, I don't know about that. Because I know if I ask God where my secret sin is, He's going to show it. But can I encourage you, friend, pray those prayers. God, if there's anything between me and you, help reveal it to me. Because I want to be close to you, God. And look here, praise is a witness. The prisoners heard them. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And the prisoners heard them. You see, their praise carried testimony. God is worthy even when treated unjustly. God is near even in the inner prisons. And God's servants do not have to become bitter to survive pain. When you read the rest of the story, we see the jailer is confronted, trembling. He says, what must I do to be saved? He hears the gospel. They say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, praise didn't replace preaching, but it prepared the ground. When we come to church and we sing the hymns, we sing the songs, and we see the spiritual truth from the songs, and as pastor prays, and as we take prayer requests, and all those different things, friend, let me tell you this, and as we take the Lord's Supper, which is a part of praise, it's part of that last point of praise I just talked about, yadeh, as we confess our sins, we say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. Let us realize that praise isn't just singing a song, it is applying the truth to our lives. So how do we build real praise? Number one, friend, if you want to build real praise, number one, build praise on specific truth. Don't just say, hey, God is good. We ought to say what the Scripture says. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. All things work together for good to them that love God, to the called according to His purpose. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. How do we build real praise? Focus on specific truth in God's Word, but also practice midnight disciplines. Paul and Silas were in the prison at midnight. They still prayed. They still praised. And guess what? They still proclaimed to the people around them. Number three, how to build real praise. Let praise expose the idols in your life. Many times when we think of idols, we think of the statues in the Bible, or we think of the phone, or we think of the tablet, or we think of the TV. Let me say this, friend. You can be an idol too. Satan doesn't have to get you to not believe in God. He just has to get you to put yourself first. And that's why Jesus said, hey, no man can come to me unless he hates his mother, his father, his brethren, his wife, and even his life itself. We can make ourselves idols. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to end with this. Praise can't be taken away. Psalm 34, 1, let's go back to that verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, the world can take our comfort. It can take our reputation. It can take our convenience. It can take our health. It can take our freedom. But it cannot take God. And when praise becomes what it's meant to be, a proclamation, a sacrifice, and confession, then praise becomes something that chains can't bind. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Not because the prison was pleasant, not because their backs didn't hurt, not because the judge was fair, but because God was still God. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, the saints are around the throne and they're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Jesus at that time in that prison was worthy before the earthquake. He was worthy in the stocks. He was worthy at midnight. He was worthy in the beating. He is worthy at all times. You see, friend, that is what praise truly is. Praise is about proclaiming God. It's about evangelism. Praise is a sacrifice. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort. And praise is confession. It's aligning my heart with God's will, and with God's word. Let's go and have a word of prayer, and we'll be done.